O woman, great is your faith. Let it be done as you wish. This gospel teaches us about what's necessary for faith. This woman recognizes Jesus. First of all, she recognizes him as Son of David. That's a messianic act of faith, that Jesus is the Messiah, the Son of David. And again, she has this great need. And Jesus just kind of holds back. He doesn't want to do anything just yet. It's not that he's trying to be cold. He wants to increase her faith. She's going to have to really be determined. This isn't just like a, yeah, by the way, kind of give me a little of this and a little of that and I'll go my way unchanged. He wants her to change, to become a great woman of faith. So he puts her off a little bit. The disciples say, send her away. She keeps calling after us. But she's persistent. She puts up with all of this. And Jesus says, I was sent only to the lost sheep of the house of Israel. Again, his mission is first of all to the children of Israel. Eventually, everyone is invited to become a child of Israel, if you will, the new Israel being the church. But then she says, help me, Lord. She looks right past this, putting her off, and she says, help me. And then Jesus seems to put her off again, and he says, it's not right to take the food of the children and give it to the dogs. Now, that was what they called Gentiles and Samaritans. They called them dogs. It was kind of like a term of damn Yankees. It was like one word. And he's alluding, calling her that she might be, if you will, a Gentile dog. And she could have walked away and said, well, if you're going to treat me like that, I'll have nothing to do with you. And she didn't. She humbled herself. And she says, even the dogs eat the scraps that fall from the table of their master. She humbled herself. And he says, woman, great is your faith. Let it be done as you wish. All of these are acts of faith, persistence, determination, and going to Jesus, knowing that he has the power to do this. And then the grace is poured out. It's powerful for us to know this, that this wonderful gift of faith brings down the power of God. Now, what is this faith? It's the power of God entering our lives. But you can't see faith. You can still only see what it affects, what it touches, what it accomplishes, but you can't actually see faith. Just like you can't see sunshine. Well, I can see the sun. It's so bright, it's blinding, and then I can't see anything else if I look at the sun for a moment. I can see the things that the sun lights up. It lights up the trees and the grass. But I actually can't see sunlight. It can pass through a window and go through a room and light up the floor, but you can't see sunlight. If there's dust in the air, it'll light up all those little specks of dust, but you can't see the sunlight itself. Well, so it is with faith. You can't see the faith. You can only see the effects of the faith. The way that the faith lights up everything else in the room, changes and draws down the power of God. Well, where does faith come from? Well, we want to say, well, we believe in God, and that's true, but it's more than that. The faith comes from Christ, and Christ and the church are one. The church is the mystical Christ. It's the church that Jesus established. It's the church that he empowered to go and teach all nations. It's the church which is empowered to teach us. It gathered the books of the Bible, included some, excluded others that were not deemed to be scripture, and it's the church which speaks with the voice of Christ. Pope John Paul was quite insistent upon that again and again. The church speaks with the voice of Christ. When we listen to the church, we've listened to Christ. When we disobey the church, we've disobeyed Christ. There's no way to say, well, I just follow Jesus, but I don't follow the church. Christ and the church are one. In baptism, when you bring your child forward, you ask, what do you ask of the church? The first answer is faith. Faith comes from the church. It's the gift of the church to us. And when we embrace this gift of the faith, power is poured out upon us. Now, this faith coming to us from the church includes, for instance, all of the doctrines, the Trinity, the Eucharist. It includes all the sacramental life. It also includes the moral life. When we obey the church, we've obeyed Christ. When we separate ourselves from the church, we've separated ourselves from Christ. Christ and the church are one. That's what we want to hold on to. Hold on to that thought. Otherwise, we start making wiggle room and say, well, I don't have to do this, or it wasn't clear about this, and I can get away with that. It really won't matter. And the more we separate ourselves from the church, we've separated ourselves from Christ, our faith is weaker, and power is not poured out. The faith brings power into our lives. When the power is there, God not only blesses the thing we're asking for, but even the things around it, our whole family life, our work life, everything else, because of that act of faith, that act of obedience to the church. And power is poured out as soon as we do that. Now, it's important because I know a lady, and she's a wonderful woman. I've known her casually on and off for a couple of decades now, and she lives far away in another state. She's from a family that's been very successful. Her father was a businessman. She's a businesswoman. Some of her siblings also own businesses. They're very accomplished, very successful. And she herself has kind of a riding stable. She has this bunch of horses, and all year long they teach riding, but they also, in the summer, they have these week-long camps, and they take like 30 kids each week, and they ride, and they have crafts, and they have games, and they do all of those things. And, well, along the way, she has to hire helpers. She gets a lot of them from Europe, and young girls, late teens, early 20s, will come over, and they'll stay for the summer. Well, of all things, one of the girls wanted to become Catholic. She had no faith at all. She's from Germany, wants to become Catholic. So this lady calls me up from across the states and far away, and she says, my priest won't help her. He says she has to go through RCIA and OCIA, and she has to go through all of these projects in order to become a Catholic. And I said, well, technically he gave the right answer, but he didn't look for the exception. I said, you might have to find another priest who's on fire for the Lord, and you have to sit down with her and have to talk with her. And there might be a reason to say, in this case, yes, in this case, we baptize. You remember in the Acts of the Apostles, it was Philip who was going along with that Ethiopian eunuch, and the eunuch is reading from Isaiah, and he jumps up into the carriage, and he gives him a scripture study, and the Ethiopian says, what's to prevent me from being baptized today? And he was, right then and there. And so we find that there's times when you strike when the iron is hot. So I thought that this lady was real advocate for the girl, and perhaps a great woman of faith, and I liked that. I thought it was admirable. She's determined. She's persistent. Well, 2 weeks later, I find out that she's having her own son get married on her business property, outside the church, a non-sacramental union, and she's doing that. And I said, wait a minute. That's not the faith that I thought I saw in this other person. And it turns out it wasn't actually faith. It's more like stubbornness. She wants what she wants. She pushes for what she wants. She's a nice person, but is it really faith? You see, to be married outside the church is a great wound on a couple. They've stepped outside of Christ's blessing. They no longer have God's blessing poured into their lives, God's power poured into their lives. It's more than just a blessing. It's power that's poured in. And when we step outside of that, we find ourselves living for ourselves instead of for one another. Very important difference. You know, the idea of this sacrament of matrimony is that you and I are giving ourselves to God through a spouse. The priests and religious give themselves directly to God, but the laity in marriage give themselves to God through a spouse. They love that spouse for the sake of Christ. They do things for that spouse for the sake of God, for the sake of Jesus Christ, and they love God through that spouse. And therefore, marriage is a vocation of service. It's meant to be other-centered. We not only meet one another's financial and material needs, but their emotional needs and even their intimate needs. It's a life of service, to do what's best for the other. And when we don't have the grace of Christ, we drift back into serving myself. I want to make myself happy. Does this make me happy? Am I happy? Do I feel this is a rewarding relationship for me? And pretty soon, people start to back away from one another, seeking only themselves. And so many marriages come to an end. And even if they manage to somehow stay together, they often end up married outside the church, stop going to church. Obviously, they can't go to communion at this stage. And sometimes they don't get their kids baptized, and their grandkids will never be baptized. And you see that in two or three generations, the faith is lost because of this one single mistake. They didn't give their lives to Christ in the church. Their marriage was not blessed by the church. Now, it can be remedied. There is such a thing as convalidation. We welcome couples who are married outside the church to come back to the church, to get their vows renewed, the sacrament given to them, and to reorient their lives to a life of service for one another, that gift of self to the other. make this the true gift of Christ to one another. That's where we want this to be. That's what strengthens the faith. And when we find that, God pours down blessings. He pours in power. It's the faith well lived. And he doesn't just bless your marriage. He blesses your family and your work life. And the trials, the crosses that come your way, he helps you work through them and come out successfully and better than you were before. Because God pours in power wherever there's faith. When there's no faith, we're on our own and very often tending towards self-destructive things that don't build up a family, don't build up a marriage, don't build up a culture, don't build up a nation. So think about that. One of the reasons that Christendom prospered all through the Middle Ages, all throughout Europe, was because of faith. And it's because the marriage is well lived out as service for one another in the Lord, in Jesus Christ. And God poured in power to sweep enemies out of their ways, to make them more advanced and more blessed than anybody else. That's the power of the faith. He pours in power for those who follow him. Perhaps you saw that article as we ran it several weeks in a row earlier this summer, 9 bad reasons to attend a Catholic marriage outside the church. 9 bad reasons. And, we have all these reasons. Probably the most important one is because otherwise the kids won't like me, or I'll alienate them, or I'll drive them away. In the end, you look back over the last 50 years and you say, how has that worked out? All of those marriages outside the church, they often end up simply kids drifting away. They never come back. We never see them anyway. And it was really a false excuse, an emotional excuse, a softness of decision-making that, we'll go to that wedding anyway, and maybe the kids will come back because we're nice. Instead of standing firm in Christ and saying, you know what? If Christ can't bless it, neither can I. It's that strong a decision. That's important that we do those things. I know a lady who is out of Omaha, very well-to-do family, and she was talking to her daughter. Daughter called in on the phone and was describing her proposed marriage and how it was going to be, and it became evident that this was going to be a marriage that was a secular marriage outside the church. And the mother held out the phone and dropped it, and she says, my daughter is dead. That marriage did not happen outside the church. Somebody put their foot down. Somebody closed their wallet, said, I'm not going to be coming. I'm not going to pay for this. And the marriage did not happen outside the church. Parents have to be strong, not just nice, strong and faithful. And we call the kids to what is best. We summon them to what is noble and good and true. We actually call them not just to the sacrament, but then to living it out in a life of other-centered service. What's best for the other, not just for me. And that's what makes it faith. That's where the power is poured in. That's what God begins to bless. So this whole life of faith is so different from what the secular world would know, so different from anything else. And this is what God blesses. He looks down upon us and he sees our faith and he says, great is your faith. Let it be done as you wish.